Gina Kimes, Sarah Spain, Pablo Torre. Go on a journey with me. Let's all drink in the Cleveland Browns new jerseys together. Wow. What? You know what? How do I say this? They kind of look exactly like the old uniforms. In the hype video for this stunk new release, they had about four frames worth of Odell Beckham. Not a whole lot. Circumstantial, yes, but today's rumor and report from Mark Malusis on The Fan in New York that the Browns and Vikings were undergoing trade talks concerning Beckham. Now, Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, who covers the team, talked to a source, and that source said, quote, false, end quote. Mina Kimes, around the horn to you first. False or true? You surprised Beckham is in scuttlebutt again? And would it behoove the Browns maybe to move him?
I mean, at this point, I would be surprised if Odell Beckham Jr. was not involved in some sort of rumor or scuttlebutt. This isn't crazy on its face, Tony, right? Because we're looking at arguably the best wide receiver draft in a decade. It would make sense, actually, for any team to look at their star veteran and consider the idea of getting younger. But I don't think it makes sense for Cleveland for a couple of reasons. One, they would be selling low on OBJ. The player we saw last season is not who he is. He has years left on his contract. It would be a bad deal for them, probably. And beyond that, they need to evaluate Baker Mayfield this year. And it would hurt him to roll into the season with nothing more than Jarvis Landry and a bunch of rookies, especially given what's happening this offseason.
Even if it was a first-round pick in this year's wide receiver draft, you'd still say no.
Okay, first round pick, not
what an amazing flip-flop. All right. I'm mute for Mina Kimes, Pablo Torre. Same question to you. Would it behoove the Browns to consider moving Beckham?
I think consideration makes sense, but keep in mind this is a new front office, a new head coach, and I know the nerds are now running the show in Cleveland, Tony, and the long view is what us nerds like. But I have to think that winning now and desperately trying to win now after last year and given the stigma around getting these number guys in there, that's going to be the thing that says, let's keep maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL. Which also, by the way, like, I have to think that Odell Beckham Jr. feels like someone is just pranking him at this point. He gets traded from New York to Cleveland. He loves Miami. He loves L.A. And guess what? You're headed to Minnesota.
No, wait, hold
Good
on
luck,
a second.
Odell, trying to sleep well at night.
You're still all in on Beckham being the best receiver in the NFL.
Last year, Tony, like, I think there were all of these confounding variables. I think he is in the conversation. Okay. I think he's absolutely still in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sarah Spain's in our conversation. Would it behoove the Browns to consider moving Beckham?
I understand the prisoner of the moment argument here. He had a career low outside of injury-riddled years in catches, receiving yards, and touchdowns. And the question is, what's the holdup there? Is it not working well with Baker? Is it being overshadowed by Landry? You have to understand whether the reason that he wasn't as productive last year was due to his own skill set or something within that offense. I don't think that's the case. I think they get a new coach. I think Baker needs to take a step forward and be more efficient. And I think you understand how to balance the productivity of both him and Landry. And you've got something great. I think Mina pointed out all of the reasons this is too much of a risk because you already are going to be pushed back in terms of how much time you have to work with people. You have a guy that in theory didn't cause many problems last year. Most of them were assigned by the media, not by things he actually did. So I don't think it's time to get rid of him.
You said Mina said all that, but then when I said first round pick, she was like, maybe there's a chance. All right, this is around the horn. We have to award a point. Pablo Torre, you said nerds love the long view, and I love the green day behind you. Point Pablo Torre, we move on. Buy or sell Dak Prescott. He's got about the busiest quarantine life outside of Fauci and the Tiger King. Thrown with Dez, and then the party at his house, which he directly disputes that it was a party. The photo in the TMZ report, some have pointed out, wasn't even Prescott's house. The report also had the police being called to his residence. That has been corroborated. Police could not substantiate the number of people in attendance and whether it was over 10 and therefore breaking the code. But that's all public perception. Today in the Dallas Morning News, an intrepid columnist called Tim Collinshaw, who we love, saying that that's not even the major reason why Prescott's contractual leverage is slipping away this offseason. He brought up the reporting that now reporting to camp is going to be a virtual thing. And since that's virtual, not showing up would have less of an impact and effect. Pablo Torre, I'll ask you, how do you believe Dak is doing this past week leverage-wise in his contract?
It's not good, and I think that I care about this more than the Cowboys do. I am in New York City. I take all of these guidelines very seriously. You're endangering other people when you break them. I don't think the Cowboys actually care about that in the same way, but I do think this is useful leverage for them. Even if they don't believe in any of what I just said, the public perception is trending downwards for Dak, and if they want to pay him as less than what he thinks he is, I think they can do that easier now.
Sarah Spain, what do you think the ramifications of this last week and this offseason have been for Dak?
Yeah, I think his behavior is just an excuse for them to publicly explain why they're behaving the way they have, which has proven to us all along that they're not big on giving him a ton of money. He's following the Zeke playbook. Run afoul of the law and hold out. And previously that resulted in the highest contract for a position ever, if you want to give it to him. They don't with Dak, so it'll just be an excuse.
Mina Kimes?
The only thing that matters to Dallas from a leverage perspective, it's not the social distancing stuff, which I don't think is a good look. It's whether or not they need him around this summer. And I think our colleague, Tim Kalishaw, is right to point out that, well, nobody's going to be around, so it seems like it's not as big of a deal for Dak. But it still matters. Even if it's virtual, they've got a new head coach. They need him involved. And I still think he has leverage in that regard.
If you were offering me a first-round pick, maybe I could get you into the showdown. But right now, we eliminate Ms. Kimes, a Sarah Spain Pablo Torre showdown for this all-important point on the Around the Horn SportsCenter edition. Let's go. Showdown is, well, we'll get back to the Browns jersey for showdown. Do they look any different now? So far this offseason, four new jerseys, Browns, Bucks, Colts, Falcons. We got a teaser of the Rams because they have that new logo. And the Chargers and Patriots will also have new ones. Sarah, who did it best and who did it worst?
Well, let's see. I need bifocals to see the Buccaneers name. It looks like a mouse ate the cheese that was the Colts. There's a ding-a-ling in the Rams logo. And the Browns are always the worst because their colors are orange and brown. So I guess the Falcons won?
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Pablo Torre?
Can I just sell all of these?
Yes.
And by that I mean, like, none of this is actually all that different. And it's not what we want. All we want are the cool vintage uniforms, except they can't sell those again because they sold them before and they want to make more money off of people because it's kind of like when your iPhone runs out of battery mysteriously and you're like, why is this happening? Oh, it's because they want to make more money off of consumers.
Exactly.
None of this is needed. None of it looks better.
That is exactly true about the iPhone battery. You know what else is happening right now? I believe voice command and spell check are not working during quarantine as well. Pablo Torre's getting the FaceTime. 30 seconds and this win.
Tony, you mentioned Green Day. It's kind of a basket case scenario for me in this apartment right now. So I just want to remind everybody, you don't have to be productive. I know Shakespeare wrote King Lear while in quarantine for the plague. But also, you can do nothing and feel pretty good about that. It's crazy times here. For instance, I've been spending my time growing a mustache and gardening. Like, here's a bonsai tree I'm working with. It's a Philippine treat. tree. And so it's great. I'm doing nothing, and it is really fulfilling, and it keeps me sane. So I encourage all of you, maybe consider doing the same.
Welcome to paradise. When we come around tomorrow, it'll be a 23 and 50-minute break. Catch! Oh, that was the worst one. I mean, come on, reality.